Excellent. It's lovely to see you all. I've never preached with a microphone like this. I don't know, I feel like I'm doing karaoke or something. It's going to turn into Night Train. It won't, I promise. Don't worry. It's all okay. Today I have the joy and privilege of preaching to you on the last of our kind of key gospel-themed messages. And we are looking at forgiven and free. Oh, youth, do you have your little bingo? Yeah. There's more bingo sheets if anyone else needs one, you know, just to stay on track. Should I do some kind of hand signal when I want you to click? Amazing. Okay, so this is what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. So a few weeks ago, Tim brought us What is the Gospel? Then that led into Ian speaking on holiness and sin. Then James spoke to us about sacrifice and atonement. Glenn had mercy and grace. Martin had faith and repentance. Can't say it. Ian then had redeemed and restored. And today I've been given forgiven and free. And then next week we move on to a brand new series. So this is kind of the last of looking at these key gospel messages. So my first question to you is, what is the gospel? Well done. Good work. I'm going to tell you. It's fine. Don't worry. The gospel is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel is that central message that is key to the Christian faith. Okay? And it is conveyed through the teachings, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And actually, the word gospel is not like a Hebrew or a Greek word, which we're quite used to in church, aren't we? It's actually an old English word, and it actually means good news. There we go. That's what the gospel is. Everybody, what's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. There we go. Yes. Excellent. Point one done. Okay. So that's what we've been looking at over the last 6 weeks. So today is forgiven and freed. So what is forgiveness? Now, this is one that I think is a difficult one to define without using the word forgiveness. Well, forgiveness is forgiveness. Job done. No. How do you explain it to a child? What's forgiveness? Well, according to, you know, various psychologists and the Oxford Dictionary and all this kind of thing, it is that intentional letting go of anger, bitterness, resentment. But the key thing in our Christian faith is without the need for compensation. Forgiveness is not an insurance claim. You don't get anything back. Okay? It is just you choosing to let something go. And in the Greek, told you there'd be some Greek and Hebrew. In the Bible, the word forgiveness in the Greek literally meant to let go, as when a person doesn't demand payment for a debt. So when Martin was speaking on, and I'm going to say it wrong, tetalistai? That sounds about right, doesn't it? That debt was paid kind of thing. That's what forgiveness means. Debt is wiped clean. It's gone. It's been paid for us. That's forgiveness. Okay. And obviously, Jesus speaks a lot about forgiveness in the Bible. In Luke, he said, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is in debt to us." He literally taught it to us in the Lord's Prayer. And actually, the basis of forgiveness in the Bible is rooted in unselfish love. Okay? And in Corinthians, I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with the passage, "Love is patient, love is kind." You know that one? It's often on fridge magnets, isn't it? The one that's been going around my head now for a couple of days is, "Love keeps no record of wrongs." Okay? So, forgiveness and love are actually, they're like this. They're together. They mean the same thing. To truly love means that you're letting go of all wrongs. Yeah, keeping no record of wrongs. To forgive means you're letting go of that resentment. And at this point, especially with this microphone, I feel like I could burst into Elsa, "Let it go." You know, yeah, I won't. Yeah. Okay, so that's what forgiveness means. So I said a minute ago, do we ever really teach forgiveness? So when our children are small, aren't they cute? This is my daughter Eliza, and this is Annie. Freddie wasn't born yet, so he's not there. We teach our children to say sorry very quickly, don't we? I don't know if this will work. This is meant to be a video. Does it work? You won't get sound, but if it was going to play, oh, that's a shame if it won't. Oh, look, yeah, you do. Right, okay, so this is Eliza reading to Annie. Annie's about 2 months old. Eliza's not yet two. She gets a bit annoyed. She smacks her in the face. Okay, and the video pauses quite abruptly here, you know. You've got those videos on your phones, yeah. And this is when we go, Eliza, we don't hit, do we? Can you say sorry to Annie? Oh, wait, you know. And that's it. But I didn't walk Annie through what forgiveness meant at this point. You know, 2 months old, I didn't go, right, Annie, you know, I know Eliza hit you. I know it probably hurt you. But we're going to let go of that hurt and that anger that we feel towards Eliza. And we're going to forgive her. I've never had that conversation, really, with my children. Not like that. Not when they were little. I said, say sorry. But I didn't really go, this is what it means to forgive them. Maybe you did. Maybe you're all much better parents than I am. So, a lot of us have dealt with forgiveness in our lives. We've got our own personal experiences of forgiveness and saying sorry. And a lot of us will know just how hard it can be to forgive someone or to be forgiven ourselves. It's not always an easy journey, but a lot of us will also have testimony to the fact that if you don't forgive, it doesn't do you any good. And even, you know, when you look at kind of counselling websites or psychology websites, a key message is forgiving, letting go, moving on from past hurts, past bitterness, because it doesn't do you any good. It is healthier for your body, your brain, your heart to forgive than to hold on to that resentment. Okay, so we teach it to our little ones. We know it's a good idea. So how do we forgive? Well, this is taken from focusonthefamily.com. Being doing my job in the community, I subscribe to lots of random kind of family newsletters and stuff. And this is their top tips on how you forgive someone. And actually, Jenny spoke to us a few months ago. Probably 6 months ago. It was a while ago, wasn't it? But on forgiveness, she touched on this as well. And I don't know whether many of you know Jenny. She's a lovely, lovely lady. And she has got a great testimony about forgiving her work colleagues for an incident of bullying over many, many years. And she says that what she did when she knew I really need to forgive these people, she started praying for them. Every day on her taxi journey into work, she would pray for those people that were being unkind to her. And she was asking God to help her to love them. And that's really difficult, isn't it? But actually, the second thing is to ask God to help you. So you don't need to do this process on your own. As a Christian with a faith in Jesus Christ, we can ask God for help in forgiving others. You pray for them, you ask God to help you to come to a place where you desire to forgive the person, and then you try again, because the problem with forgiveness in our human form is that it can leap back up and bite you on the bum. You think you've moved on, you think you've forgiven, you think you've let it go. But something triggers it, you know, a car ride, you see something, a person, a comment. A tiny, tiny thing. You didn't think it was still lurking in the back of your head. And it triggers it again. And you actually just need to go through this whole process all over again. You might need to do it many, 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 many times in your life. Sorry. It's still healthier to forgive. It's still better for your heart, for your mind, for your body to forgive. Okay, so that's my three practical steps on how to forgive. So in the Bible, there is this suggestion that if you forgive others, then you will be forgiven yourself. So, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, which I've already spoken about in the Luke version, but it says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Another passage that emphasizes the same thing is found, in Matthew. If you forgive
other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. As Annie would say, say what? What? No. I know that I've got faith in Jesus who loves me just as I am, and that I can come all messy and screwed up, and I can come into the presence of God, and he loves me. Doesn't he? That's what the Bible says. That's what I know. That's what I was taught in Sunday school. Come on. Yes, of course all that's true. Yes, of course you come messy, broken, rubbish, full of sin, full of hurt, full of hate, full of nastiness, and you come into the presence of Jesus and he forgives you your sin and you are washed clean because of his sacrifice. I know you know this stuff. But actually, if we are fully grasping what it is to come into the presence of God broken and messy and gross and be forgiven all of that, and to be brand sparkly, shiny, white and new again, if that's really the message that's living in our heart, that we live with that every day. Gosh, I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am loved. I am chosen. If that's really the message that's inscribed on your heart by God, then the kind of reciprocal thing of that is that we would be forgiving others around us. It would just pour out of us, wouldn't it? We know, because, you know, preachers who stand in front of us and tell us that if you spend more time with God, then God kind of seeps out of you more. And it's the same thing. If you truly grasp just what God did for you when he sent Jesus to die on the cross, then how much more will we be able to let go of that bitterness and hurt that's been caused to us by others? Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's really not. What Jesus went through was not easy. And I think as well, and this only really occurred to me this morning, so this might be rubbish, but you know, bear with us. Jesus obviously went to the cross knowing what he was going to do on the cross, that he was going to die a brutal, brutal death, that he would be scorned, that he would be lied about, that he would be despised, hated, rejected, all of those things. He knew that. He knew that's what he was going to do. But then his mate, his friend, the person he spent so much time with, Peter, kind of got on that bandwagon as well, didn't he? He denied who Jesus was. When people said to him, oh, you're mates with Jesus, no, I'm not. And he did it three times, just as Jesus predicted. And again, I know a lot of you know this story, but that personal experience that Jesus had of forgiving his friend was a butthead. His friend was not a nice person in that moment. His friend denied who he was. His friend. Not just his people, like, you know, not just us lot, but his close personal mate. And Jesus went to the cross knowing what Peter did. And then obviously, a few days later, he cooks Peter some breakfast. He's forgiven him. He loves him. He has totally let go of all that nastiness, all that horridness. He's forgiven him. So if that's true for Jesus and Peter, how much more true is that for us? Because Jesus forgave us so we can forgive our friends. Okay, so there is a parable in Matthew, the parable of the unmerciful servant. James and I lead a children's group, and we really like these Saddleback Kids videos. So if ever you've got nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon, go on YouTube, search Saddleback Kids. You could just watch the whole of the Bible, but in cartoon form. It's awesome. So I'm going to read this to you. This is in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Good old Peter came along to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay everything back." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." Blech. This is a stark warning, isn't it? If we have truly accepted God's forgiveness in our lives, it would be transformative. If we fully grasped all it meant, God's forgiveness of us. It's a massive deal, isn't it? It's a huge deal. It's the biggest deal. We can't just be apathetic about it. We can't just be kind of British about it. We can't just be like, meh. It's massive. It should impact every tiniest bit of who we are. Okay. So my preach was on forgiveness and freedom. So freedom. What's freedom? Well, according to Google, it's the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. We live in a country where pretty much we are free to say what we like. Pretty much. Okay. There are lots of other places where you're not. Jesus says about freedom, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Doesn't really matter that we live in the UK. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We're not free. We're slaves to sin. Now, I know, again, a lot of us have heard this before, and we can just kind of go, "Yeah, slave to sin, but I'm no longer," and all of this. Because we know so much of this stuff in our head, don't we? But again, do we really live with knowing it in our hearts? Because I think I can let stuff go for a really long time. Sin in my life can just be swept under the carpet for years. Yeah, I'm really good at that, actually. Just hide that little bit of me away. That's fine. I don't clock the fact that I'm actually a slave to it. That it's poisoning every aspect of my life. That I'm not completely free while that sin is going on. While I keep sweeping it, pretending it's all okay, I'm actually under its control. And Jesus wants us to be truly free of that. And do you know what he did about that? He went to the cross and he forgave us. There's a link you might see in amongst the preach. Forgiveness allows individuals to be released from the burden of guilt and condemnation. Hi, Liza. In our faith, we believe that through repentance and God's forgiveness, believers are set free from the guilt of their sins. I'm going to read that again. In our faith, yeah, that's what we're here for, isn't it? Our faith. We believe that through repentance and God's forgiveness, believers, us lot, are set free from the guilt of their sin. And Romans 8, verse 1, another fridge magnet, but it's a good one. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are truly free when we have received forgiveness from Christ Jesus. That's where freedom comes from. That's what freedom is. Which is why you can hear testimonies of believers that live in countries where their faith is oppressed and condemned. And they are living a truly free life because they have let this message permeate their hearts completely. I think it's harder for us in some ways because we can just be so nonchalant about it. So, meh. This is real, this is true, and this should affect us. Okay. I feel like I'm talking a bit too much. What's time? 25 past. What time did I start? Like 5 past?
Yeah.
Okay. So, forgiveness leads to freedom. Yeah, I'm going to scoot on a little bit. Thanks. So, forgiveness leads to freedom in lots of aspects of our life, not just when we stand at church and sing our songs and we can sing them without feeling too guilty this week. It's freedom in our relationships with our partners. Perhaps, it's essential, isn't it, forgiveness for maintaining a healthy relationship with your partner, with your children, with anybody that comes into your life ever. Yeah? Because people screw up. People make mistakes. People do things intentionally to hurt us. And it's really grim. And if we held on to all of that grimness, we'd suddenly be filled with grimness. And we wouldn't be very nice. Forgiveness is essential to maintaining those healthy relationships. And in Colossians it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Not because otherwise you'll be condemned, but because it should pour out of your heart. Freedom from anger and resentment. Forgiveness brings that. Unforgiveness. Is that a word? Unforgiveness. It is now. Leads to bitterness, rage, or just general moodiness and grumpiness and gnarliness and not very niceness. Choosing to forgive allows individuals to let go of all those negative emotions, experiencing kind of emotional freedom. Ephesians says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Forgiveness brings us freedom to love and to serve. It opens those doors for individuals to serve one another. When people are not burdened by grudges, they're more free to express their love and their compassion, wanting to feed people and clothe people and be generous to people and love people. Galatians 5 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And also, forgiveness breaks that cycle of retaliation. We see it in the media, don't we? One side does this, so the other side does this, and then the other side does this, and then the other side does this, and it just turns into what essentially a war. Really? Forgiveness breaks that. Instead of seeking retribution, individuals, who choose to forgive can experience just the freedom of breaking that cycle of harm. Suddenly you don't punch back. If you don't punch back, then the fight is kind of, well, eventually it stops, doesn't it? Matthew 5 says, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Forgiveness is massively transformative. It's liberating. And it gives individuals the freedom to move beyond past hurts, to reconcile relationships and experience emotional and spiritual well-being. And as I said a little while ago, forgiveness, because we have been forgiven. Christ's forgiveness to us was a free gift. It was a free gift. It wasn't based on any of our actions. None of our actions were good enough to deserve it, so it's really good. It's also seen as hugely, what's the word, distinctive to our faith. Christ's forgiveness to us is something that is central to just our faith. That relationship that we can have with God through Christ's forgiveness, through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, is central to the Christian faith and to no other faith. It sets us apart. It means that we live in a freedom that other people don't have the same access to. Like, how mental is that? Like, this is central to us. Okay, I'm wrapping up. At the beginning of this morning, I referred to 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah, love is patient, love is kind, blah, blah, blah. And the bit that I drew your attention to is love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And I think this passage has led me to realise that true love is also true forgiveness. And true forgiveness leads to true freedom. And we know that God is love. God embodies all of those things. God is love. So God is also true forgiveness. And do you know what makes this even more beautiful? It's the fact that God first loved us. In 1 John 4, verse 10, it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." God's love was an initiative taken on by God himself. It wasn't ever a response to our goodness, our niceness, our greatness, but it was just an outpouring of God's nature. And his love keeps no record of wrongs. His love is forgiveness. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are forever forgiven, forever redeemed, and forever freed. And we are adopted into his family, meaning we are no longer a slave to sin, but we are a son. We are part of that family. And we have this amazing gift of love, which we can share. Matthew 22 says, and this was when Jesus was being asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And John 1 John 4 verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. And we love because he first loved us." And that is what we can give to our community, to those around us. That's what we have to share. You know, where is it in the Bible where it says, "Silver and gold I have none of, but what I have is greater"? I have God's love. I can share that. And that's everything. That is everything. So, we are forgiven by God. We are loved by God. And we can live in the freedom that that brings us. But that can be hard. That can be challenging for some of us. Because for some of us here, a bit like Martin said earlier on, you're there, you might not have fully got that yet. That idea that you're totally forgiven. That might not have got in your heart yet. And if it hasn't yet, if you're sat here thinking, "No, I've never really felt like I've experienced the love of God or the forgiveness of God. And you know what? I'm not really sure I deserve it because I'm really screwed up." If you're in that first camp, then we would love to pray for you. because God's love is real, and God's forgiveness is real, and you can experience it today. The second group of people might be someone who's going, yeah, but you don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what my testimony is. You don't know all I've lived through, the hurt that I've experienced, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment that has been heaped on me. And I can't forgive. I can't let that go. That almost defines me. That's what made me the person I am today. That is flipping tough. But if we go back to my really helpful care for the family or whatever it was, start by praying for that person. Start by praying for them and ask God to help you. This is a journey. This might not be done immediately today. It might not. But you can make a start. You can start praying. And you can start asking God to help you pray. Because at the moment, all you might be able to do is go, bless so and so. That might be it. So that's step one. Tomorrow, you might be able to pray a little more. And the next day, maybe a little more still. So, do we need to accept Jesus' forgiveness for our own lives? Do we need to repent? Do we need to receive from him? Or do we perhaps need to forgive someone else in our life? So I'd love to invite the worship team to come and play. And I'm going to hand you back over into the hands of Martin, but I'm just going to pray for us first, and then I would love for you guys to chat to Jesus. He's here by his Holy Spirit. We don't need any magic tricks or smoke machines or fancy lights. He's right here with us, and he loves us just as we are, and he's got forgiveness for us. Father God, I thank you so much for everything that you tell us in your word. Lord, I thank you that central to our faith is your love and your forgiveness. Because, Lord, we know that we screw up on a daily basis, Lord. And I thank you that every day I can come into your presence completely transformed and renewed. And, Lord, I pray that I will get what that means. I pray that we will get what that means to be truly forgiven. Be truly free of sin and shame and guilt and condemnation. Lord, I pray that right now these people here, all of us here, Lord, will just truly know what it is to experience your forgiveness. Lord, and I pray that as an outpouring of that, we will begin that journey to forgiving those who have hurt us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are and all that you've done for us. Amen.